If you read in Hebrews 12, let us also therefore, having so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, laying aside every weight and sin which so easily entangles us, run with endurance the race that lies before us, looking steadfastly on Jesus, the leader and completer of faith, who in view of the joy lying before him, endured the cross, having despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The next chapter, chapter 13 and verse 12. Wherefore also Jesus, that he might sanctify the people by his own blood, suffered without the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him without the camp, bearing his reproach, for we have not here an abiding city, but seek the coming one. And Philippians 3 and verse 8, but surely I count also all things to be loss on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all, and count them to be filth, that I may gain Christ, that I may be found in him, not having my righteousness, which would be on the principle of law, but that which is by faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, through faith, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if in any way I arrive at the resurrection from among the dead. Nor did I have already obtained the prize, or am already perfected, but I pursue, if also I may get possession of it, seeing that also I have been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not count to have got possession myself, but one thing, forgetting the things behind and stretching out to the things before, I pursue, looking toward the goal, for the prize of the calling on high of God in Christ Jesus. My exercise is that our eyes should be fixed on the man in the glory. Whether we take the path of faith, or the path of separation, or the path of full committal, Christ is to be our object. The path of faith is one which we commence on, I suppose, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. I wonder if we've all done that here. Every one of us, you young ones, have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus? What a thing it is. What a day in your life when you put your faith in Jesus. When you trust him, when you come to accept that you are a sinner and that he died on Calvary's cross to save you, that he loved you so much that he went all the way to Calvary to die for you. When you put your faith in that finished work, in that precious shed blood that we spoke of in the reading, that was shed for you and for me, in order that we might be brought back to God. Such is the person I invite you to put your trust in and to have your eyes fixed on tonight. Do we all have a living link with Jesus? That's how we start on the path of faith, you know. But we need to continue in the path of faith. We need to endure in the path of faith. And that's what the writer to the Hebrews has in mind, you know, that we would continue in it. But the fact is that if we're to continue in it, we must be looking off unto Jesus. We must have an object for our affections and for our faith. And that one is the blessed Lord, the one that we've trusted for our soul salvation, is the one that will see us to glory. And he's the one that will keep us, and only he will keep us on the pathway of faith. Now, It's a path that you cannot be maintained on, naturally speaking. If we try on the path of faith, on natural lines, we will fail because we need divine resources to be maintained in it. I suppose, you know, Peter, he took the path of faith when he got out of the boat to go to Jesus. You know, what an example that is in Matthew 14. Because there it was, the disciples were in the boat and the sea was contrary. And the Lord comes to them in the fourth watch of the night. Fourth watch. Dear brethren, we are in the fourth watch of the night just before the Lord comes. It's the darkest hour. Just before the dawn is the darkest hour. Are we to be faithful to Christ at this point? Oh, let it be said of us that we, in our time in the testimony, were faithful to Christ. Peter hears the Lord's voice coming. And he says, Lord, if it be thou, if it be thou, if it's the person that I know and love, I'm surrounded here by persons who love Christ. But you know, my burden is that your affections should be engaged with him where he is. If it be thou, the Lord and Saviour that Peter knew and trusted, bid me come to thee. Bid me come to thee. And the Lord says, come, come. He invites Peter to come. What a thing it is to have a desire to be where the Lord is in your circumstances, you know. They were in circumstances that were contrary, and the Lord wasn't with them. But Peter was motivated by his knowledge of Christ to be with him. The Lord says, come. And Peter steps out of the boat onto the water. I was watching the tide this morning, you know. How turbulent it was. The waves crashing in on the shore. Peter walked on the water. You know, we're very ready to say, yes, Peter, you got your eye off Christ. And so he did. So he did. But what a lesson for us, you know. If we get our eyes off Christ, we will start to sink. Our testimony will be snuffed out. And that's what Satan wants, you know. He wants our testimony snuffed out completely. He wants us to be the same as all around in the world that has rejected and cast out Christ. You know, when Peter began to sink, he said, Lord, save me. And he was so close to Jesus that the Lord put out his hand and took him by the hand. You know, what a thing that is. We are thankful for Peter's exercises, aren't we? We are thankful. The Lord says to him, I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And you know, Peter's faith never failed him. He had exercises to go through. Deep exercises to find out what was in here, you know. Peter thought he loved the Lord more than the rest of them. Well, the Lord had a particular thing for him to do, and it involved that his affections would be engaged with Christ. And so he probes them and probes them. But you know, Peter's love for the Lord carried him through. And he had a commission from the Lord which he carried out faithfully. We find him in Acts, you know, his faith failing not. He says, silver and gold I have not. Peter had nothing to maintain him naturally. He was walking on the water in Acts, you know. Silver and gold I have not, but what I have give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise up and walk. Think of the faith it took for Peter to say these words. You know, he knew that Jesus could raise that man up. There was faith with Peter. There was faith with the man. There was a result for God. Well, let us be found walking in the path of faith. You know, he could speak in the epistle of your faith being more precious than gold, though it be tried by fire. You know, he could speak about the Lord. That was the Lord whom he knew, the Lord whom he seen. Peter would say to you, you know, I've seen him and I love him. But he could thank the Lord for those who hadn't seen him and yet loved him. And that's you and I, you know, we've never seen Jesus. You know, what a thing it must have been for these men to accompany the Lord. You know, you study the life of Jesus and how attractive he was. Think of that life in its perfection. Think of what was seen in it. A life, yes, that was set apart. But think of the attractiveness of that life. Think of the attractiveness of the person of Jesus. Think of how lovable he was. You know, these men's hearts were fixed on the Lord. They had walked with him. They had accompanied with him these 3.5 years. And you know, what they found in the Lord comes out in John's epistles and in his writings and in Peter and James. What these men found in the Lord is communicated there. You know, there's nothing but the glory of the person of Christ that will hold us and hold us faithful to him while we wait his return. You know, John's ministry is so vital in that regard. John goes right on to the end. Paul's ministry is vital as well. And the reason that Christendom is in the state it is because it has disregarded Paul's ministry. But John's ministry maintains us in life because it brings the glory of the person of Christ before us. Whether it be in the Gospel of John is completely unique, or in the epistles that he writes, John is concerned that persons will lay hold of the glory of Christ. But nothing but that will hold us. John's writing in a time when the most had given up, when persons were saying that it wasn't Jesus, wasn't the Son of God, and nearly the end of the first century, things had almost gone completely. John presents the person of Christ. And that's what I would seek to do tonight. That the only thing what holds thy people now while here on earth is what thou art in all thy wondrous worth. Lord, if it be thou, let us hear the voice of Christ calling us to come to him, you know. Let us take the path of faith. You know, a brother in Glasgow used to say to the young ones, if you want an interesting life, choose the path of faith. And how true that is, you know. We had a sister locally who asked the Lord for an opportunity to speak to someone every day. What an exercise that was. And I can tell you, she had a very interesting life. Well, if you're not prepared to speak to someone, you maybe better no ask for the opportunity, because maybe we get opportunities time and time again that we don't take advantage of. You say, well, Peter denied the Lord. Well, how many times have I denied the Lord? When I've had an opportunity to speak to someone about the Saviour and haven't done it. Well, let us choose the path of faith. The leader and completer of faith. Think of the Lord as a man here. Think of the faith and dependence that marked him, you know. What a study the life of Christ is. But he's the completer of faith. You know, when we're with him, there'll be no need for faith. We shall be with him. Faith and hope shall cease, but love will remain. Love will remain eternally. Think of the joy of seeing the Lord. You know, what a prospect that is. Do you ever contemplate what it'll be like to look upon Jesus? We shall see him as he is. What a prospect is ours. But everyone who has this hope in them purifies himself even as he is pure. You know, the hope of seeing Jesus in all his glory is to have a practical effect on my life now. the leader and completer of faith, let our eyes be fixed on the man in the glory. Well, the path of separation, you know, some of us don't like the word separation. And I suppose there was a time when it was used and used and overused. Sometimes things lose their value when they're overused. But you know, the path of separation is a vital one if I'm to enjoy the company of the Lord. It's not a negative thing at all. It's a positive thing. Because I would take the path of separation if I truly want to be in communion with my Lord and Saviour. And love would motivate me to do that. Again, if I look at the pathway of Jesus, it was love that motivated him. It was love that made him go to Calvary's cross. It was love for the will of his God and Father, and love for me that made him go that way. When I come to 2 Timothy, I find something laid upon every believer, that everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now that scripture stands today and is current as it had ever been. But you know, do I need an injunction to depart from evil? Or am I sensitive as to what suits my Lord and Saviour? Would I do it out of love for him if I want to know his company and communion with him? Then I have to take the path of separation. If I want to be serviceable and do things for the Lord, I have to take the path of separation. You know, to know him, as we're often reminded, is to love him. And to love him is to serve him. But in 2 Timothy, we become serviceable to the Master when we take the path of separation. And I would urge every one of us, young and old alike, to soberly consider what there is around us. Think of the world and the state it's in. It's still the world that rejected Christ. The world has no room for my Saviour. Therefore, what part should I find in such a place? And yet the world has never made a greater appeal for my affections than it is at the moment. You know, Satan caters for everything, absolutely everything, and provides it 24 hours a day to keep you from communion with your Lord and Saviour. We all know about this. We all know what takes up our precious time, what could be given to the Lord. Oh, you say it's quite legitimate. Well, it may well be, but let it not interfere with your relationship with your Lord and Saviour. Well, apart from the world, look at Christendom. Look at it. And we are part of it. We are part of the ruin and the breakdown. We cannot get out of that. We have our part in what has happened. And you know, it has become something that was never intended. And it probably began with the church becoming popular. Church was meant to be a stranger in the world, you know. That was its position, as carrying the testimony forward in the absence of Christ. The church was never meant to be popular in the world. And when it became popular, if you look at church history, it lost power and it lost ground. But dear believer, dear lover of Christ, the Spirit is still here. How thankful we should be for that. He's still here. And he will maintain an answer to the heart of Christ with those who separate themselves from the general course of things. And so while we are part of Christendom and part of the ruin, still there is a way forward. And that way forward is looking to Jesus. Going to him, you know, when Moses came down with the tables of stone. There was idolatry in the camp. And wisdom, you know, he broke the tables. He didn't carry them in to the camp. If he had, it would have brought in judgment. He broke the tables. And then he set up the tabernacle outside the camp. And the Levites separated to Moses. God had intended that all the people should serve him, that all should be priests. But you know, ruin and breakdown came in, and the Levites separated to Moses, and they took over the priesthood. And you know, sadly, it broke down on the very first day with Aaron's sons. I'm not going into that, because Christ is our high priest, and there's no breakdown there. But the tabernacle was set outside the camp, and it says if anyone sought the Lord, he went there. He went to the tabernacle. Well, where is the Lord today? Is he in the camp? How could he be? There's idolatry in the camp. He's not. Let us go off unto him. Let us go off unto Jesus. Writer here speaks, of course, of the sacrifices. The sin offering was slain at the altar. The blood was taken into the Holy of Holies. Think of the value of the blood of Christ, you know. Sprinkled on the mercy seat. On and before the mercy seat. You know, think of that. Think of Christ set forth as a mercy seat through faith in his blood. Think of the blood of Christ, you know, on the mercy seat tonight. Think of the cherubim, you know, looking down from one side and from the other side on the mercy seat and seeing the blood of Christ there, knowing that God's rights have been upheld and the drawing near to man in respect of sin because the blood of Christ is there. But the bodies of these sacrifices was carried outside the camp. And it was burned there. Burned there. What did it speak of? It spoke of God's judgment against that the man that had offended. That flesh, you know, but which had to be burned, which had to be dealt with. It speaks of what Christ took on at Calvary's cross. He suffered without the camp. He suffered outside of Jerusalem, you know. Think of Jerusalem. Think of the Lord's feelings in regard of Jerusalem, the city that slays the prophets. Think of his feelings coming out as he wept over it, you know. He only spent one night in Jerusalem, the night that he was delivered up, the city that should have received him, you know. He was honoured. God saw to it that there was those that honoured his entry into Jerusalem. But he was rejected completely. And he suffered without the gate. He suffered on a lonely hill outside of Jerusalem. Golgotha, that's the height of man's intelligence. That's what they did to Jesus. But the bearing of it in my life is that if I want to have communion with my Lord and Saviour, it's without the camp. It's the road of separation, the path of separation. Let us see the necessity of it. If we're to be maintained with our links and with our Lord and Saviour. I commend this path to you. I commend it to myself. This word has a bearing as much on me as it does on anybody. Let us be prepared. Let us be, as if we're ready to receive the blessings that the work and death of Christ has brought to us. Let us be prepared for the responsibility that it places upon us to come into the good of these blessings. Well, the path of committal. You know, what a humbling passage in Philippians. You see, Paul's in prison, and yet his joy in his Saviour is bursting out of it, isn't it? As you read the epistle to the Philippians, you find that he's so enjoying something of his Lord and Saviour. And he's communicating that to them. He obviously had joy in writing to the Philippians. They were a company who were going on well, you know. And joy is mentioned in every chapter. But you know, Paul in the prison was enjoying the presence of the Lord. And he'd lost everything. He'd lost everything on account of his Lord and Saviour. Everything that would maintain him naturally. A good education, wealth, honour. Everything that was of benefit to him naturally. He'd surrendered for Christ. And the great thing about it is, not only had he lost it, but he never regretted it. That's a great thing. Sometimes you lose something and you really regret it. You know, there was no regrets for Paul. Why? Because of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. I love that, you know. That's superlative language. What he had lost was more than amply made up for what he had gained. And you know, as one young recent martyr said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot hold for that which he cannot lose. That's divine things, you know. That's what it is. I count all things to be filth on account of the knowledge of I'll turn it up. Count them to be filth that I may gain Christ. Think of that. Think of what he had gained. You know, we all know how far on we've got in this road. Are we truly committed to Christ? Now, I don't want to be flippant, but you know, a man once described his breakfast. His ham and eggs, and he said that the chicken was involved, but the pig was committed. Now I would like to challenge each heart here in our local settings. Are you involved or are you committed? Are you committed to Christ's interests? Are you so attached to Christ that you're here for his interests? Or do you just turn up? Are you a net contributor in the local meeting? Or do you just take and take and take? Let us be exercised in our local settings for full committal to Christ. Young ones, are you committed to the Lord and to his people? Are you committed to the Lord's interests here? I can assure you that the Lord will honour you if you commit yourselves fully to his will and to his path. You know, Daniel and his friends purposed in their heart that they would not pollute themselves. You know, God honoured these men. He honoured them. He preserved them. And it says elsewhere in the scripture, he who honours me, him will I honour. Let us honour Christ in our path here. Let us put him first. God is no man's debtor, you know. If you put Christ first in your life, you will be amply compensated for. And that's what I find in Philippians 3. I find a man who's amply compensated for. A man whose heart is fixed on Christ. A man who desires to be with Christ, but is so concerned about things in the testimony that he feels he should stay. You know, he had nothing naturally to sustain him, just as Peter had nothing naturally to sustain him when he stepped out of the boat to go to Christ. I would urge every one of us here, young and old alike, from this day forward to freshly commit ourselves to Christ. He says, to know him, to know the person. Oh, how attractive Jesus is. If I could but convey something of what I have enjoyed in my Saviour. Paul could do that, you know. You can't tell persons about the worth of Christ if you're not enjoying it yourself. And Paul was, you know, to know him and the power of his resurrection. Think of that, a man in resurrection who had appeared to Paul, you know. Have I not seen Jesus? Jesus appeared to Paul from the glory and the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, that cuts me off from the world completely. If I am conformed to his death and know the fellowship of his sufferings, I'm cut off from the world. You know, the cross of Christ, dear young believer, stands between you and the world. What a preservation the cross of Christ is. Let us be found standing there. Standing at the cross of Christ. Bearing his reproach, we find in Hebrews, yes. Bearing his reproach. And who's to say where the reproach might come from? It might come a lot closer home than you might have expected. But you know what a thing it is to be worthy to bear that reproach for Christ, to be faithful to him, to be conformed to his death. If in any way I arrive at the resurrection from among the dead, that's Paul's resurrection. That's if you've lived, if you've died with Christ, if you've been raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above, where the Christ is. What a simple check, you know, for me in my life. If I'm truly dead to this world, if I've truly been raised with Christ, I will seek the things that are above, where the Christ is. I will not seek the things that are around. You know, one man was told, seek ye great things for yourself. Seek them not. Seek them not. Let us not seek a place in a world that has rejected Christ. Let us look off unto him, the leader and completer of faith, the one who's coming for us, the one who has the power to maintain us in the testimony here. You know, the Lord will support us in the testimony if we're faithful to him. What do we have faith for? You say the meetings are getting smaller and smaller. Why is it? Do I have faith in my Lord and Saviour in regard of that? Do I have faith for recovery? Do I have faith for reconciliation? Do I have the courage for it? Or does the very word of reconciliation open up old sores that grace would have healed long ago? Let us have faith that the Lord is able to bring about reconciliation among his people, if it is his mind. And I believe recovery is his mind. But let us give him a basis for doing it. We can't do it. We can't do it in our own strength. We cannot do it in natural lines. But if there is a scriptural basis for reconciliation among our brethren, let us be prepared for it. Let us supplicate the Lord that he might bring it about. And let us have the courage to look into these things. Well, he will maintain us. He will maintain us in the testimony if we're faithful to him. Well, may we ask why we've been reduced. Is it because we are not faithful enough? Is it because we don't appreciate what the Lord has given us to work out? Is it because we don't appreciate the supper enough? I leave these questions with myself and with my brethren. Let us commit ourselves to the Lord for the pathway, the remainder of the pathway. Let us leave the numbers to him. Let us see that we provide conditions for him to come to us. Let us be kept in the path of separation, and let us take the path of faith and trust him for every day while we wait his return. May the Lord bless the word.